You know, we've been studying through the Lord's Prayer. The first week we talked about that simple little two words, Our Father. Our Father. To think about the God of the universe, the one who created all that there is, designed it perfectly. Do you realize the existence of our universe and us in the universe? He created this in a very specific way so that we would live. He shaped, he molded, he put into existence physics, a way of a design that this world is. I do not understand how anybody cannot at least start there. The grand design of the universe requires a grand designer. Just a shift here or a shift there. There is no life. But he created and made and shaped and molded everything that there is so that you would exist. It's not by chance. You're not by chance. You're part of God's design. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you take such great thought in him? Though created a little lower than the angels, you have exalted us with glory. Not because of anything that we could do. You don't earn your value in the presence of God. Not because of any intelligence that you may have. You don't deserve to be in the presence of God. It's his choice. It's his design. You're his design. And we're going to discover here in just a few moments just exactly the greatness of God and how you and I are the testimony to the fullness and completeness of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amazing. The holiness of God. Did you notice how it's phrased? He didn't say, God, you are holy. He says, holy shall be your name. It's a declaration. It's something that Jesus is saying about the Father himself that takes him. The fact the word holiness to means to be separate. Do you realize there's a phrase in the Bible that I've come to appreciate and I've come to grasp that kind of fits with this idea of the holiness of God? When we say that God is the Most High God, do we understand what we're actually saying with that phrase? We're saying above all other gods, all idols, there is no God like this God. He is not just higher than any other so-called gods. He is the one and only. He is separate. He is the Most High God, the only God, the transcendent one. We're going to discover here in a few moments how special that is. Because you see, we would never know about God except for the fact that God makes himself known. Right? The writer of Hebrews says that in former times, God spoke through the angels, through the prophets, but in these latter days, he spoke completely completely through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of God, the exact representation of his being. So who is this God? This transcendent God. This God who is separate. I want you to understand foremost, and you're going to see a hope, something that is so dynamic that it is going to bless your life like you've never been blessed before. That's my hope. That this only God, this transcendent God, this God who is holy, I want you to understand the fullness of holiness, what it is, and how it manifests itself in not only the nature of God, but the character of God, the choices of God, and the action of God. You see, God by nature is holy. He's holy. Randy read for us here this whole idea. He says, he writes in there this dream, this vision that Isaiah had. In the year of King Uzziah, Isaiah is lifted up into the very throne room of God. Very few have had that experience. Isaiah did. And as he's ushered into the presence of God, there are angels that float around the very throne of God, giving God honor and glory by saying day and night, holy, holy, holy. Repeating it, holy, holy, holy. You see, when we talk about the holiness of God, we realize from this vision and other places in Scripture that God is so holy, there is no impurity in him. There is no defilement in him. He is perfect glory. So much so that Isaiah says in this vision, woe is me. See, he recognizes something. You remember, I'm going to take it back just 1 second. You remember when Moses made that request of God on the mountain? Where he said, God, can I see you? Can I see your face? What does God say? You don't want that. To glimpse upon my presence would be your death. Because we are so impure. We are so sinful. We cannot even come into the presence of God. And so Isaiah is saying, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips. He's recognizing the sin in his heart. And so the thing that God does to purify him is he takes that coal, that purifying coal from the altar, and touches his lips. And then he gives him the commission, go and speak. The holiness of God. So holy is God. So pure is God. Habakkuk 1:13 says, his eyes are so pure that he cannot see evil. He cannot even look upon wrong. And what does he mean by that? It's the idea that he cannot take it in. It's the idea that he cannot be tempted. It's the idea that even in the presence of something that is evil, God cannot be affected. He is God. He is holy. And nothing and no one who is unholy can come into his presence. He is a God who is holy. And this holy God in character is righteous. He is righteous. In other words, everything that God does is the right thing. Everything. There is nothing that God does not do. There's nothing that God does not providentially insert himself into history. There is nothing that God does not do in his decisions and his choices that aren't righteous. They're all righteous. They're all complete. From beginning to the end. Boy, what confidence that should give you. No matter what takes place in your life, the activity of God in your life will always be the right thing. The engagement in your heart and in your soul will always accomplish the right thing because they are from a holy, righteous God. And because he is righteous, his decisions are always just. Always just. God cannot be tempted by evil, can he? He cannot make an unjust choice. He's just. The Bible says, God, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Just and upright is he. This God who is holy in nature, who is righteous in character, who is just in his decisions, must, not optional, must execute wrath. You see, the holiness of God is not something that is optional to God. He can't choose to work against his holiness. This is who he is. This is his very nature. And because he is holy, he must execute wrath on that which is unholy. Must. No options. In the court of law of heaven, those who come in with an offense against God is always guilty. And God does and will execute wrath on them. You know what's sad about that? That's you and me. That's you and me. We come into the presence of God and we are what? Guilty. Oh my God, we are guilty. Our destiny from birth to death is God's wrath. It's eternal punishment. It's death. For the wages of sin is death. We've got to come to grips with this. It's only when we come to grips with this that we begin to appreciate what God has done. Because you see, and this is where I love contrast. My wife won't let me wear contrast. But I love contrast because I think sometimes in the contrast, it helps us to define reality. You see, the contrast of a holy God in nature is the other part of his nature. He is love. He is love. In the Lord's Prayer, He makes this point. Hallowed be your name. We want to remember that you are a holy God. But at a glimpse, you don't see God's love, do you? But you do. God's love is written all over that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This loving God has a will. We'll talk about that next week for your life and mine. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a loving God who provides, isn't it? And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. That's a loving God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Well, that's love's written all over it. Because just as much as God is holy and righteous, leading to justice and wrath, He is a loving God. And here's the difference. A holy God is obligated to execute us. But a loving God chooses. Hold on to that. Because just as God in His holiness is righteous, God in His love is good, isn't He? He's a good God. We even say it here every Sunday. One of the things I will do with my students back at my former church is every week on an index card, after they write their name, I will say, write one thing that God has done good in your life this week. Do that in your mind, will you? Do that right now. One thing that God has done that is good in your life this week. There's so many things. That great hymn, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Have you been blessed? Something I'm coming to grips with, blessing. Sometimes I sit down when I talk. I'm so glad this is here. So, this has been over probably the last month or so. I think you guys are part of this because you're a blessing. You're a blessing to Christy, you're a blessing to me. Truly are. But in a world filled with evil, in a world that is rebellious against the God of the universe, in a world where we are destined for His wrath, God gives blessings. Why? I think there's one reason. You see, blessings are a taste of the hope that is yet to come. They're a reminder to us that there's something far greater that is yet in our future. Every blessing is a reminder of what we have waiting for us in eternity, right? God is good. That's His character. Just as much as God, everything He does is righteous, God equally does good. James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Where there is no division of light. In other words, God doesn't play favors. He's a loving, good God. The passage there says this. Once I find it. of? No. The Lord is good to all, Psalm 145:9 says, and his mercy is over all that he has made. He's good. The sun rises on whom? The just and the unjust, right? Not just over the Mueller's farm and then the farms of the unjust people around them. It just flips over. No, it rises on them too, right? It rains, it rains, it rains on, I know you may not, it rains on everybody, good or evil. The design of God in this universe works for everyone. Whether you're walking with God or whether you aren't walking with God. Because God is good and a kind God. He's a good and kind God. Kindness, like love, is a choice. He chooses to be kind. He's not obligated. In fact, to obligate somebody to be kind is a contradiction. Because can that person be kind if he's forced to be kind? You ever did that with your kids? You know, they get in a fight with their siblings or something, and you would go to them and say, go make up. Tell them you love them. Give them a hug. You know, I don't love that kid. You know, for whatever reason, I'm ready to punch him again. That would be me and my brother. No. Kindness has to be a choice, or it's not kindness at all. So God is kind because of his great love for you and me. Oh, but it gets even better. Because you see, this God who loves shows grace. Grace. Something undeserved. Something God chooses to do in your life. There is the sense of God's universal grace where God just demonstrates through creation, through his design, just his love, his goodness, and his kindness. But God does something even more special as an act of grace. You see... Let's go back to the wrath of God for a moment. We're hopeless, aren't we? We're helpless. Listen to what Ephesians 2 says. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived, in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature, you ready? Children of wrath. Like the rest of mankind. Sitting on death row, counting the minutes. Counting the hours, counting the days, counting the years to our execution. We are all dead men walking. But, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Through one act of grace, God's wrath is satisfied so that God is able to show mercy to any and all who would receive it. Amen. For by grace we have been saved through faith. This is not of ourself. It is a gift of God. God does not compromise holiness. Instead, he satisfies it through his love so that we would be reconciled with him. You and me. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ died. That's why Christ rose again and now lives in heaven on your behalf and mine. This is what it's about. Christ didn't die. I need to finish up fast. I'm looking at the clock. Those poor children. Really, the poor children's workers. I need to hurry. Christ didn't die so that you could have the best life today. Christ died so that you could have eternal life. And the things in this life, we endure for the sake of eternity. What is this life? You ever read a book? Of course you have. You know the one part in a lot of books we skip over? It's the preface. We go right straight to chapter one. Boom. But the preface is so important because the preface lays the setting. The preface tells us about the character. You are in the preface of the book. God is preparing you for chapter one. We are in the presence of God, his sons and daughters, because of the grace of God that satisfies the wrath of God so that we might have eternal life. Here's what I want to do. Two things. First, I want you to stand with me. And I want us to say that great prayer together. So will you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.